Moncrief on News Talk.
Douglas Stewart is one of six writers who won the Booker Prize on their first go. Douglas's debut work, Shuggy Bane, won the Booker in 2020. Yet out of that six, Douglas was the only one who had a long history in the fashion industry. His new novel is called John of John. Douglas, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Now, the first two very much set in Glasgow, but now you've moved out to the Isles now to kind of meet the Chuchters, as my father used to say. Did you know much about that part of Scotland?
I knew very little. I grew up in Glasgow. I was the son of a single mother, and my mother didn't have the means to show us the country. And so in 2019, when I was ready to start writing a new book, I thought to myself, I want to go to the Outer Hebrides, and perhaps there'll be a novel there, but if there's not, then at least I'll learn a little bit more about my own country. Mm. And I knew only two or three people on the islands, and I went for the first trip for 12 weeks, and I just travelled up the archipelago from island to island. They all have their own unique, beautiful culture, their own history, and when I got to the Isle of Harris, I thought, this is it, this is where the book is.
Yeah, and what was it about the Isle of Harris?
Well, there was four things that converged there that were fascinating to me. One was the traditional crofting way of life. One is the Gaelic language in Scotland, which obviously is a language that's not many people speak there. There was also the Free Presbyterian Church, which has a big effect on the culture. And for me personally, as someone who worked in fashion and textiles, there was Harris tweed weaving. But the landscape of the island, for anyone that's been, there's two sides to the island, but on the east coast is this really fascinating bedrock of an orthosite and mica that they say is found only there and then on the face of the moon. And as a novelist, I love the romance of that. But it was certainly, for me, a very lonely place. And I you know, I'm not a religious man, but when I was there, I felt a very spiritual feeling. I felt my own insignificance on that sort of rocky landscape under that enormous sky.
Yeah. Now, Your main character in this is from Harris, but has gone away to study and then returns. That in many of those islands, and this is something that could resonate with in Ireland as well, there's almost sadness built in there in that people expect you to leave.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. There's a pre-grief, I think, when you're raising children, because you know they might have to go to the city to make their fortune. And also I love, there's an epigraph at the beginning of the book by a very famous Protestant minister that said, "Islanders the world over are born for exile. Islands give you the most privileged childhood, and then when they've made you what you are, they leave you with no place to express it." Mm. And I think islanders accept that, you know, they know that you might have to leave at one point in your life. But the character, John Callum, or Cal as we know him, has graduated from textile college. And just in that moment where he's about to go out into the world and become his own man, his father calls him one day and says, "Your grandmother is very sick. You have to come home to care for her." And Cal loves his grandmother very much. And so he returns to Harris and into a nest of unfinished business and broken relationships. And it's, you know, he's really the sort of the, I don't know, the catalyst that changes everything in the book. It's not always about him, but he sort of brings change to the island.
Yeah. Now, maybe I'm autobiographizing your work a bit too much, but say Cal is a person who has grown up the island, but then goes out into the big bad world and a completely different milieu. Mm. Is that a kind of, is that a trope, if you like, that's been in all your books and indeed in your own life?
Yeah, I think I have a very complicated relationship with the idea of home. You know, I'm a Glaswegian, I'm a Scotsman, that's what I am to my bones. But when I was 16, I was the son of a single mother. And when I was 16, my mother died very suddenly one day. And when you lose your only parent, you lose your home, you lose all your furniture, all your clothes. And so I found myself homeless in Glasgow and also by myself. But at the very same time, I was a young gay man. And so I'd grown up in a city of hardworking men doing hard industrial jobs. And it was a place at the time where masculinity in the working class neighbourhoods was expressed in a very narrow way. So the city also didn't ever give me a sense of resting or belonging there. And so at 16, I lost all concept of home. And I think throughout all my work, even though I live in New York now, I've been trying to write myself back to Scotland and to find a sense of home. And one of the things I think that's that connects my work is the characters want to belong where they live. It's not stories about people fleeing or leaving or, you know, often in queer fiction, the character leaves their small town and goes to London or San Francisco or Paris. My characters are working class men. They want to stay where they are. They just need to be able to feel like they belong.
Yeah. But is that, I feel like, the kind of constant wrestle as to what am I? Because they can probably look around and see people, you know, see contemporaries who fit perfectly into this place.
Yeah.
But perhaps they don't feel that they might fit perfectly into where they regard as home or even where they've gone to.
That's right. But I'm always sort of, you know, as someone that grew up with a working class background, I was always taught to consider the we before the I. You know, I was always one of many. I was always one of a community. And so I've wrestled my whole life with the idea of any community asks for you to conform. You know, whether it's a working class community in the East End of Glasgow or whether now it's a very global queer community, every part of whatever you're in asks you to behave a certain way in order to belong inside that community. And if you can't, if you're a single mother in a very proud Catholic neighbourhood, that's a terrible thing at that time. You know, if you're a young gay boy in a very hard-working shipbuilding or coal mining community, that also is an outlier. And so I've always wrestled with community needing conformity.
Yeah.
And that comes through my work.
Yeah. In modern Scotland, is it possible to even say, what does it mean to be Scottish now?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, I think so. I mean, it transformed since my childhood from being a very industrial place, a very patriarchal place, to being one of the most liberal countries in all of Europe. But I think the wonderful thing about it is we're very pro-immigration. We're very welcoming to people from outside. You know, we've not been quite as affected by some of the madness south of the border.
Mm.
And so I think as long as you are in Scotland and you want to be Scottish, you can be Scottish.
Yeah. Does that imply, though, that I suppose in political terms, that fissure between Scotland and what's happened and the south of the border is growing wider all the time?
I think that fissure has been as wide all my life. You know, I grew up under Thatcherism, where she decided that working communities were standing in the way of progress, and she threw generations of us onto the slag heap. You know, without, you know, we were. Against her plans.
Mm.
And I've seen, I turn 50 at the end of the month, and I've seen my entire life the will of the Scottish people not be reflected in what the government decides. As late as looking at Brexit, you know, Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain within Europe. And yet because we're a minority partner in the Union, we were taken out of Europe. And so I think the fissure has always been there. It is very wide. And I'd like to see the will of the people reflected.
Yeah. Do you feel you fit into the literary world now? You're a Booker winner. There must be lots of... Is part of your day mixing with loveys now?
No, there's very... I mean, I don't know any loveys, but I did just have a cup of coffee with Colm Toybean, which was a real
treat.
Okay,
he's lovely, though.
He's lovely, but also, what a Dublin experience that is, you know. No, you know, I think because I came from very far outside, I wanted to study English literature. I wanted to do that at college, but instead I was sort of sent towards textiles at 17 because it was a artistic training that would almost definitely guarantee a job, and I needed a job when I was finished. And so I have come from the outside of literature, but you can no longer claim that after winning the Booker. In a weird way, you're dragged from the outside and thrust right into the centre of it. And so what my work has been the past 6 years has been finding my own sense of self in that space.
Yeah. And you moved to New York, partially work, but also love, probably predominantly. How are you finding the United States now?
Well, I mean, it's pretty bleak. Let's not like beat around the bush. But I think I'm a New Yorker first. And I have so much hope in Mamdani at the moment. I think he's done incredible things in the city. It's wonderful to have a young politician who will have to live with whatever decisions he makes. But it's also been incredible because he's talking, you know, he's talking about socialist ideals in a very capitalist culture and, you know, to create free public transportation, to have affordable housing for people. I mean, that shouldn't be revolutionary, but it almost seems like it is.
Mm.
And I've been so encouraged at the fact that he took a $12 billion deficit and he balanced it within 6 months. You know, politicians tell us all the time that they can't do it, they can't make the math work, and so we have to do with less. And in fact, he just raised taxes on the extremely wealthy and he balanced the budget and kept all the services as they were.
Yeah. And do you get the sense that he is still popular there?
Yeah, he's popular with me. I'm not sure. I don't know that he is.
No, but you know, using the S word in the United States is a very
dirty word. But I'm a Scotsman. I grew up in a council house. I believe in socialism. The reason why I made it to America is because my education was free. You know, the country decided that all kids could access world class education, and I'm not a self made man at all. You know, I'm made by my country.
Yeah. Douglas, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Douglas Stewart there. John of John is the name of the new book.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.